Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Acts chapter 16, verse 25 and 26. I had something prepared yesterday, and God kind of put something on my heart about midnight this morning. Acts chapter 16, two verses, 25 and 26. Actually, while you're turning there, I know you're standing. Let us keep our nation in prayer. The atrocities that are now being legalized is unbelievable. I cannot believe that we live in a land that says it's now okay to kill babies at delivery. Unbelievable. And if we don't pray, and if we don't speak up, and let me just say this, bringing awareness to it is fine, but we're all aware. Awareness is not enough. We need to call every person that we can in public office and tell them we are not okay with New York legalizing abortion. You say, well, we don't live in New York. Well, it will come to Texas if we let it stand in New York. And listen, this is not a Republican, Democratic issue. This is a morality issue. This is a life issue. And everybody standing here today, that blood is on our hands if we don't speak up and speak out and pray. And every time we vote, vote life, vote life, vote life. Amen? That was for free. Got that off of my chest. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And as a result of the prison shaking, immediately all doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. I want to preach for 23 minutes, y'all, on praise that shakes. Praise that shakes. If I had a subtitle, it would be The Space Between Prayer and Praise. The Space Between Prayer and Praise. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I am a praiser. Turn to somebody else, your second choice neighbor, and tell him, I am a praiser. Turn around behind you and tell that person, I am a praiser. You may be seated. Where are the praisers out of the house? Hey. That's most of us. Living Way is a church unlike any other church. When my friends ask me, what's Living Way like? I use two words, controlled chaos. We have a schedule and an order of service that we like to follow, but when the Holy Ghost sees fit to interrupt that schedule, we're all right with that. I love coming to Living Way because there's always that feeling that anything can happen. That somebody could be healed. Somebody could be delivered. Somebody's spouse that they left sitting in the recliner laying in bed could open those double doors in the back and walk an aisle and get saved. I love Living Way because anything is possible. What makes anything possible at Living Way is the Jesus that we serve, but it is the people that have purpose in their life. That I'm going to be a praiser, I'm going to be a worshiper, and I'm going to be an intercessor. I'm going to pray. And when you get all of those things working together in the life of a believer, not on Sunday mornings only at 11 o'clock to 12:30, but every day of our lives when we're worshipers and we're praisers and we're intercessors, things begin to change. For those of us that lifted our voice just a moment ago and we said, yes, we are praisers, I'm so thankful that I grew up in a church that praised God. Cruz Ramirez Jr. was sitting there or standing there during praise last week, and Sister Alita Longoria, is she here? Was she in the first service? Sister Alita Longoria just ran right by him. I'm talking about ran so fast that the hair on my goatee moved. And Cruz just stepped back and go, okay. He's raised in Pentecost. He knows about. And I said, that lady right there, she's been running the aisles for 30 years. Brother Milton Burke sitting right here on the fourth row, He has a dance that is all his own. His brother used to stand in the old building right here and do standing backflips during praise. You say that's too much. No, it's not enough. The Bible talks about if I had 10,000 tongues, if I had it still wouldn't be enough. You see, what we do in praise, in for the crazy and the exuberant and the fanatical praisers, what we do seems like too much, but it always seems like too much by people that don't do enough. Fanatical praise is always hated on by those that are doing nothing. Don't ever let somebody tell you how to build your fire if they're standing there with their hands in their pocket. Don't let anybody tell you how to lift their hands when their arms are folded. Don't let anybody tell you how to pray, how not to pray, if you should speak in tongues, if you shouldn't, can you be healed, shouldn't you be healed. Don't let anybody talk to you about that from their cheap seat in the pew. But for the praisers in the house, I want to encourage you. Living Way for the last 44 years has been a house of praise, and we will continue to be a house of praise. Whether the Hammond B3 is humming, whether it's a keyboard or a guitar, you're going to have a chance to lift up the name of Jesus. Whatever Jesus has done for us causes us to get excited. When I think about the Lord and all he's done for me, I can't keep my seat. When they start singing my favorite song, I ought to praise. When they sing my least favorite song, I ought to praise. Because they're not singing for me. They're singing to the God of their salvation. The God that snatched them out of the miry clay and put them on the rock to stay. I'm a praiser. I'm a praiser. I might have white boy praise. I might just be able to rock back and forth and jump a little bit. But he said, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I don't have to sing good. As long as I have breath, I ought to praise. I might not be able to dance like Sister Chris and Sister Tanya, but my movement is my praise, and God has done too much for me. And even so, I'm on praise. And if you think this is too much, you ain't seen nothing yet, because God's doing bigger things, and that's going to take a bigger praise. Somebody say praise that shakes. We're introduced to man to a dynamic duo, a tag team, if you will, named Paul and Silas. I remember being in Sunday school and drawing, coloring pictures of Paul and Silas in the stocks underneath the prison. I remember hearing stories in children's church about praising and praying in the midnight hour and the earthquake that transpired and brought freedom to them and those around them. But when you really take Acts chapter 16 and you go through the entire chapter, it is a very unique account, and it gives us a great glimpse for us as praisers what we're going to have to put up with. Because we're praisers. You know, there's some things that you can avoid if you just shut your mouth. There's some fights that you wouldn't have to fight if you weren't a praiser. There's some things you wouldn't have to go through if you weren't an intercessor. But when you draw that line in the sand and you say, devil, don't matter what you bring against me, you're not going to silence me. No rock's going to take my place. God has brought me too far for me to sit down now. God has brought me too far for me to shut up now. I'm going to praise God no matter what. Gentlemen, we learn very quickly in our homes as married men, there's some things that you just don't say. There's some questions that you just don't answer. Does this dress make my look big? Oh, you're beautiful. That's not what I asked. And so we know that, listen, a lack of opening our mouth can sometimes free us from confrontation. There are some people in this room that you just don't like confrontation. If you don't like confrontation, just raise your hand. My wife's one of them. She will eat something she didn't order just because she doesn't want. I will send it back if it's got one grain of salt too much. But when it comes to praise, and it comes to our life and our lifestyle that we are building, you cannot be a believer and avoid confrontation. Because there is only some things that God wants to get to you that can come through praise, worship, and intercession. And so you have to make the choice. Either I'm going to receive it and live in the fullness of God, or I'm going to keep my mouth shut and I'm going to miss out on some of the great things that God has for me. But realize every promise God has for you, there is a fight that you're going to have to fight. There's some mess that you're going to have to navigate. There's some things that you're going to have to get through. One more time, where are my praisers at? Yeah. So it's a unique story. Paul and Silas have just left the house of Lydia. Lydia has come to Jesus and has given her life and is now a follower of Jesus. And so Paul has had a dream about a man from Macedonia, and he wakes up and he says, I'm headed there. And on the way there, he meets Lydia, and they lead Lydia to Christ. And God does tremendous things in her family. But as we see in verse 16 of chapter 16, Paul and Silas are on their way to Macedonia. Now, Paul and Silas are on a missions trip. The Bible says in verse 16 that he was on his way to prayer. Little did he know that on his way to prayer, there was going to be a left turn or a right turn somewhere that was going to take him to prison. How many of you know sometimes when you try to do the right thing, wrong things happen? And I've always preached that on the verge of greatness and the verge of you stepping into something great or stepping into new season or beginning a new purpose in your life, that the devil's going to fight you every step of the way to keep you from stepping in. But my friend Tory Roberts takes it one step further, and I loved it. I heard him preach it 2 or 3 weeks ago. He said it's not that the devil wants to keep you out, but sometimes he can't keep you out, and so he attacks you after you've already entered in to your promised land, trying to get you to retreat and go back from where God has just brought you from. And so this is where we see Paul and Silas. They're on their way to pray. They're on their way to pray, no doubt, for strength, for direction, for instruction on what they're supposed to do when they get to Macedonia. But here in this city, they begin to be followed by a young damsel. One translation says, a slave to mighty and powerful men who had a psychic spirit on her. Can I just digress for just a moment and tell you that Miss Cleo doesn't have your answers? Because Miss Cleo's in the grave. I bet you she didn't see that coming. For those of you who remember Miss Cleo, 1-900 and she'll tell your future. Your palm being read. You say, well, it's just something I do for fun. There is a power of darkness in all of that, that robs you from the power of God. People of God should not be looking to the horoscope. People of God, I said horoscope. I know it's horoscope, but horoscope, because that's not where it's at. I don't look to the stars. I look to the one that flung the stars, that created the stars. I'm not looking for 1-900 numbers, and I'm not doing all of those things. And so this young lady began to follow Paul and Silas. Now listen. When we hear this preached, I don't know if we really understand what she's saying, because she's not following them for a moment. She's following them, the Bible says, for days with a megaphone, and she's not saying false prophet. She's not saying what they're saying is untrue. She is literally their hype woman. She's saying, these are men of God. They have come to show you the way to salvation. She is literally preparing the way like a John the Baptist. The problem is she was not saying that to Jews. She was saying that to Romans. And what she was really saying is don't let them trick you. Don't let them talk you into this Jesus. Don't walk away from the Roman way to walk and to embrace the Jewish customs. Don't do that. And I'm here to tell you, there are people in your life, just like the young damsel in Acts chapter 16, that will follow you and tell you, don't buy into the Jesus thing. It's all pie in the sky. It's not pie in the sky. It is reality. Thousands of people here in this ministry, millions of people around the world have not bought into it. We have believed into it. It has changed our lives. But when you get ready to go to a new place, when you get ready to move into your Macedonia, when you get ready to answer the call, the enemy is always going to send somebody, and that somebody always doesn't have horns, a pitchfork, and a pointy tail. Sometimes it comes looking like a 14-year-old innocent girl. And it sounds like she's saying the right thing. But what she's really doing is warning people, don't listen to them. What they say is not true. They're talking this Jesus thing. Listen, if you're around me, you're going to hear a lot about Jesus. You're going to hear a lot about what Jesus has done for me. You're going to hear a lot about what Jesus has promised me. Listen, it's what's on my mind the most, so it's what I talk about the most. What you talk about the most is what you think about the most. What you think about the most is what you study the most. What you study the most is what you desire the most. And so what I talk about is my desires gone through the process, and it comes out as words. So they're trying to keep a low profile. Why? Because they are, listen to this, Paul and Silas, Jews, but they are Roman citizens. They have dual citizenship. So they come into Roman cities. Listen to what I'm going to say now. They come into Roman cities as Romans, but they've got a Jesus on the inside of them that the Romans don't have. Meaning they look like Romans, they talk like Romans, but they believe like Jews. Come on now. Say, what does that mean for me? Tomorrow when you go to your job, you look like your coworkers. You might have the same dialect as your coworkers, but there's a Jesus on the inside of you that they don't have. And so we don't need people blowing our cover, because we are many times preparing the atmosphere and loving people and befriending people and being to that person what they need in their life. And then they find out, oh, you go to Living Way, or oh, you go to such and such church, and oh, man, you're a strong believer. Yes, I am. And now, because everything has been prepared and the right time has presented itself, you're able to witness and perhaps lead them to Jesus Christ. This is what Paul and Silas are doing most of the time, coming under the guise of Rome, but they're Jews underneath, and they're Jesus people. Listen, you might look like them, but you ought to act like him. Oh, that's good. If I wasn't holding the mic, I'd run a lap. Paul is always defined, when you read the book of Acts, he's defined as a prayer, as an intercessor. He's defined as a praiser. Three things to determine whether your praise shakes things. There's a lot of us that praise and nothing happens. A lot of times we praise and nothing happens because we honor him with our lips, but our hearts are far from him. We praise him like we would praise a quarterback. We praise him like we would praise our boss after promotion. God deserves a praise that is reserved for no one else. Praise needs to give birth. True praise needs to give birth to worship. Worship and praise are completely different. And it has nothing to do with tempo. It has to do with the direction of your worship and your praise. Praise is thanking God for what he's done. Worship is thanking God for who he is. There is a difference. But true praise should give birth to worship. If you're not a worshiper, I don't know if you're praising right. You worship in spirit and in truth. I know you can praise in your flesh, because anybody that gets the Ed McMahon sweepstakes, they start saying, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. They might have been to church since last Easter, but they're thanking Jesus. But that doesn't give birth to worship. If it doesn't give birth to worship, I don't know if it's really praise. That's deep. Three things to determine whether you have praise that shakes. Number one, where you praise. Are you a praiser at Living Way? Do you have to have your favorite two songs played and your favorite soloist sing? Or can you praise out there in the firmament of his power? When was the last time that you praised knowing that somebody was going to mock you? knowing that somebody was going to make fun of you, knowing that somebody was going to come against you. When was the last time that somebody did something good for you and instead of thanking them first, you said, thank you, Jesus? When was the last time you lifted your hands and said, God, I praise you, I worship you, there is none like you? When was the last time we did that outside of church, not on the campus of a church, where we praise? Can we praise God in the hospital? Can we praise God when all hell breaks loose? Can we praise God when a pink slip is given instead of a promotion? Can we praise God when our best friend walks out, not when they walk in? Can I praise God through the torment that I'm going through? Can I praise God in the valley seasons of my life? Your praise and the shaking power that it has is determined. Can you praise in a place other than a church building? Number two. When you praise, do you only praise when everything's perfect? Do you only praise when everything falls into place? Or are you like David? At all times I will bless the Lord, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. That's the hell times, the valley times, the mountaintop times, the good times, the Bathsheba times, the Solomon times, the death of my son times. All of those times, God is still worthy of praise. You know why he's worthy of praise? Because all the bad things that happened in your life, he didn't do them. The devil did. Life did. So if God only does good and I praise God for what he's done in my life, it doesn't matter when bad things happen. Bad things don't change a good God, and bad things don't change the outcome that God is leading me to. Therefore, in the middle of my bad, I can still, it might hurt to praise, but that's when a sacrifice of praise. I might have to have Brother Kevin and Sister Tammy hold my hands up and praise then, but in my midst of my struggle, I can praise him. Why? Because God is still good, and he only does good. And so if it's bad, it's not because of God. It's because of the adversary or the judge of life. And I just got to remember, God is always good, so he always gets a good praise from me. Not some weak praise, not some timid praise. Sometimes my praise is accompanied by tears. Sometimes I got to put my feet down and lift my voice. But God is always worthy of my praise. Where we praise determines praise that shakes. When we praise determines praise that shakes. Number three, why you praise. Why do you praise? Did you, amen, somebody said he's worthy. That's a good answer. Why do you praise because we got a kicking band and great singers? Do you praise because everybody else is doing it? Do you praise because God's word commands us to do so? The commandments of God give no room for discussion. The commandments of God are like you talking to your six-year-old. You don't negotiate with them. You tell them how it is. And if you're a real parent, you do it till they're 18 and as long as they live under your house. No negotiation. I praise because I was created to praise. Where I praise, when I praise, why I praise. Let's go back to the text, Acts chapter 16. The damsel comes out, don't listen to him. This goes on for days, not hours, not minutes, for days. Paul would go to sleep, gets up, trying to work the city, work the crowd, do what he needs to do to get them ready to accept Jesus Christ. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, and they show you the way to salvation. Verse 18, she did this for many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said unto the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her that same hour. One translation says, came out of her immediately. We know that Paul is a person of prayer. We know that he's a person of praise. Here we see that praise and prayer produces authority. My three favorite things to preach on in no particular order are the authority of the believer, faith in Jesus Christ, and praise. Three of my favorite topics. And here, Paul, he encompasses all of those things. A true praiser can speak to the adversary to evict itself out of their life, and a true praiser's words are dripping with authority. Why? Because when I praise, God inhabits the praiser. He inhabits the praise. So that means when I speak, there is a God that is present. It's not Brandon talking. It is Jehovah that is talking. It is the very word that created the world is talking. When you praise, no matter what song it is, if it is uplifting and magnifying Jesus, when we praise, God steps in that praise. And now we have authority to speak to every evil spirit. That is why praisers can heal the sick. Praisers can deliver those that are bound. Praisers can produce a job. Praisers can produce money. Praisers can produce destiny. Praisers can produce anything. It's why we praise like we praise. It's too much. No, it's not too much. If you're fighting the devils, I thought you'd need to praise. Maybe you're fighting the dumbest demons. Maybe the devil comes to you after I've whipped him and he don't have anything left to give you. But if you're fighting the Goliaths that most of us are fighting, you need to be a praiser so that when you open up your mouth, things shift. So that when you open up your mouth, things change. Paul and Silas had about as much as they could take. And finally, Paul turns around to the demonic spirit. He doesn't speak to the girl. He speaks to the spirit. Can I encourage somebody today? When you praise, you are not speaking to the physical. You are speaking to the internal. You are not speaking to the problem. You are speaking to the spirit that brings the problem. I'm not treating symptoms when I praise. I'm dealing with the source. Verse 19, and when our master saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas. These men were manipulating her and the demonic power that was on her to make money. And she was telling people their future. And she was reading palms. And she was sharing their visions. And she was making so much money for these men that when they found her delivered, isn't that like the world? They'll use you up as long as you do the world's work. But when you get saved and delivered, they want nothing to do with you. When that's the you that they really should embrace, because that's the best you. When they found out that all their money had dried up, they went and found Paul and Silas. They beat Paul and Silas in the streets. They took them to the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews." Didn't know about their dual citizenship, and I'll get there in just a minute. Said, "These men are Jews. They're troubling our city." Troubling your city? All I know from the first three verses is there's one less demon-possessed person there than there was when they walked in. They ain't troubling your city. They're making it better. See, a praiser makes every situation better. An intercessor makes every situation better. That's why you ought to get people in your life that know what it means to praise, worship, and pray, and not so much drama, not so much gossip, not so much division, not so much running their mouth, not so much backbiting. I want a praiser and an intercessor and a worshiper in my life because they make my life better. They make my life more valuable. Verse 21, they teach us customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe being Romans. Verse 22, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes. They ripped the clothes from Paul and Silas, and they commanded them to be beat. And when they had many stripes laid on them, they cast them into the prison. And I love this. One word in the King James Version, it changes everything. How many of you know that God works everything for the good of those that love him and are called according to his purpose? Genesis 50, 20, what the devil meant for evil. Brothers, you meant it for my evil, but God used it for my good. Can I tell you that prison was not God's plan, but God said, hey, if we're going to go there, we're going to make it work. Come on now. God's saying, you know what? Cancer wasn't my plan, but since you got it, we're going to make that work to your benefit, to your testimony. You ought to praise God that whatever the devil tries, God said, we're going to make that work for you. I'm going to flip the script. I'm going to make it work. It's going to cough up. It's going to give up what I said it should. I don't know how you're going to do it, God, but I've got faith that you're going to do it. And so while you're working it out, I'm going to praise you. While you're working it out, I'm going to worship. I'm going to intercede. I'm going to do what you've called me to do. Here's the word that it used in the King James Version. They beat them, and then the magistrates and sergeants turn over Paul and Silas to the jailkeeper and says this, make sure they're kept safe. Isn't that God? They get thrown in jail for doing good. They get beaten publicly by the men who they robbed of their psyche. They get their clothes torn off and humiliated and mocked in public and beat and lashes on their back. And then they get thrown in prison. But God had to whisper to the jailkeeper and the magistrate, all right, that's it. No more stripes, no more beatings, none of this crazy stuff. Keep them safe. My word of encouragement to somebody today is you might be in the worst hell of your life, but as long as you know Jesus, you're safe. You say, well, Pastor, I'm hurting. Those are the lashing marks. Those are the scars that you're going to carry as a testimony. Don't you know that what was so painful in this moment before prison became one of Paul's greatest testimonies? That when people would walk up to him and say, Paul, have you ever even been through anything? You've been a ruler, and you've done this, and you've done that. And Paul would say, well, let me take off my jacket and show you what I've been through. And God was faithful every step of the way. God was faithful when they were mocking me. God was faithful when they were beating me. When they put me in the prison, they gave me a private cell, praise God. They made sure I was safe from all the other hardened criminals. So the jailkeeper puts their feet in stocks. I love this. Praise that shakes. They're in stocks, and at midnight, Paul looks at Silas and says, what do you want to do? Silas looks at Paul and says, what do you want to do? Paul said, there's only thing we can do. They can tie our hands. They can bind our feet. But they can't stop our praise. They can try their best to keep us here, but there is a praise that we can give, and it doesn't matter wherever I praise God, God shows up. And he shows up at church on Sunday when you praise him. And he shows up under the jail when you praise him. And so at the midnight hour, the other prisoners are snoring. The jailkeeper has gone to sleep in his office. And there Paul and Silas are. And they start singing, this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. And the Bible says that the other prisoners heard them. And don't you know that they were getting their popcorn ready for the next beating that was coming to Paul and Silas? And Paul and Silas were praying and praising in the midnight hour. And Paul, I believe, as a man of faith, said, God, this is not where I thought I'd be tonight. But if this is where I am, I'm going to praise you. You might be saying, this is not where I thought I'd be on January 27th of 2019. But if this is where I'm at, I'm going to praise you. I thought I'd be further in my life than I am now. But God, if this is where I'm at, I'm going to praise you. The stings of the lashes on my back are still deep and they still smart with pain. But God, if this is where I'm at, I'm still going to worship you. God, I look at my bank account and it doesn't have near as much money as I thought I'd have. But if this is where I'm at, I'm still going to praise you, because I've got a praise that shakes the foundation of the adversary. And as long as I keep praising God, God will show up. And man, they hit the bridge. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. And when they got through with it, a little dust fell. And then they hit that bridge again, and a couple pebbles fell. And how many of you know, when you know that God is stepping in, it causes you to press in a little further? See, some of us don't know what it means to tarry anymore. But sometimes I get down to pray for 5 minutes, Sister Glory, and I get up 35 minutes later. Because when I press in and I start praising, and I press in and I start praying, and God shows up and God starts bringing all of his fullness in, I said, there's no reason for me to stop now, because I'm not where I want to be. I'm not where God has destined me to be. So I've got my feet bound. I might as well praise. I don't got no money. I might as well praise. My friends have walked out. I might as well pray.
Rumble, 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 rumble. Gates start rattling. I love this. An earthquake happens beneath, but its greatest effect is above. Check this out. When you praise, it affects beneath. It affects the foundation. Because if the foundation fails, the jail doors fail. If the foundation fails, the stocks can't stay clasped. And what holds you back, God sometimes doesn't deal with it. He deals with underneath. And God will deal with what's below you so that he can deal with what's around you. What's around you is a byproduct of what's happening under you. But the Bible said that the devil belongs under your feet, that you should put him there and keep him there. And so as they begin to praise, the whole building begins to shake. Remember, they're up underneath the prison in the most private of cells. But as they begin to praise God, as they begin to pray, as they begin to worship, something begins to happen. And I preached it before. This was not God breaking them out of the jail. God said, I'll inhabit the praise of my people. This was God breaking into the jail. Sometimes God doesn't have to break you out. Sometimes God wants to break in so that he can inhabit and be with the praisers. Have you ever been with somebody in the hospital and you didn't know what to say? You got up to leave and they said, will you just stay with me? They know, we know that in those moments, words fail us. But what we're saying, Sister Janice, is I just need you to be with me. See, when you become comfortable praising in the prison, because you know there's a God that will join you there. The prison is no longer a prison if God's there. You can be in a penthouse and be miserable without God. But I've found myself that when I make my bed in hell, hell is no longer heaven when Jesus shows up. I'm here to tell you, no matter what you're going through today, I promise you, if you'll praise God with a praise that shakes the foundation, God will show up. Stand on your feet. We had a great time last weekend at Catalyst C2, our conference. Josh Rudolph did great. Cruz Ramirez did great. Thank you for all of the parents, all of our senior members, elders that came and supported all the kids. This is awesome. This is amazing. I love this. All the old people. I usually don't say old people. I'm going to say it now, though. All the old people said, it's loud. It's really loud. Bishop came by on Thursday night as we were doing our final sound check. We were trying to talk in the sanctuary. We went from the sanctuary to the office to the lobby. Finally, we had to go outside to talk. It was loud. Loud doesn't mean bad. Sometimes you got to get loud. We've got a generation that needs to get loud because everything else around them is loud. But in the front of that stage over there, we put two subs, two 18-inch subs. It'll shake your feelings out. You can feel it. When the bass drops on those songs, it's at a register that shakes you from the inside. We were installing those, and the company we use, which we've used to do a few projects, said, you see those subs and turn them on. I said, man, those things are popping. Man, they're loud. They shake you. He said, yeah. He said, I was just a few months ago at NAMM last year, which is a huge music festival. He said, one EDM band, electronic dance music band, that's the stuff that you probably don't like. Fast, loud, big bass. In the middle of the song, the bass drops out of it, just goes crazy. He said, those two that you have, they had 32 of those things stacked. He said, we were standing about 15 feet from them. Everybody's going crazy. This is not a Christian festival. Everybody going crazy. He said, the bass dropped, and my friend that was standing next to me, it broke three of his ribs.
My buddy that installed all of this, he said it made me physically sick. He said I had to run out of there before I threw up everywhere. Your praise, when it really drops, should have the same reaction on your enemies. That they're standing there saying, I don't know if it's going to be that loud. I don't know if their praise is going to be that powerful. I don't know if it's really going to do all they say it's going to do. Well, stick around, devil, because when my praise drops and my praise gets loud, there's going to be something that happens inside of you that you're not going to be able to stick around. You're going to have to leave. 30 more seconds. Fast forward. The jailer gets saved. His family gets saved. He gets baptized in the midnight hour. Comes to them at daybreak. It says, good news, Paul and Silas. He said, we did not know you're Roman citizens. You have dual citizenship. The magistrates, the sergeant said, you can leave right now at dawn. And I love what Paul said. Paul said, no. You beat me in public. You arrested me in public. You dragged me through the streets. You mocked me. You put us in the worst, in the most under part of the jail that you could. You put us in stocks. You did all of that publicly. We're not going quietly. Because the same praise that got us into this mess is going to be the same praise that gets us out of this mess. And I believe that Paul had the George Jefferson strut going on. I believe Paul was singing as loud as he could. This is how I overcome. This is how I overcome. You meant it for evil. You thought you'd kill me. You thought I'd stay in that jail. But look at me now. My praise would not allow me to stay in the prison of life because I've got praise that shakes. Somebody right where you are, give God the best praise that you can give him. Keep it going. Keep it going. Hallelujah. Come on. Keep it going. Keep it going. Let your praise drop. The enemy's on the run. God is inhabited. I want to open this altar to somebody that's in a prison. I want to open this altar to somebody who the devil's been after you, mocking you, chasing you, walking after you. I want to open this altar for anybody that's ready for God to break in. Woo! To your situation.
Hey.
In the midnight hour, in the darkest time of night, when everything is not right, I've got a praise that shakes. I got a praise that moves. I've got a praise that God inhabits. I can't help when I preach about praise to go a little crazy. Because when I think of the God of the universe, in mid-conversation with Michael and Gabriel. But when I begin to praise, God says, Michael, hold that thought. Gabriel, hold that thought. There's a praiser that I need to inhabit. And I'm about to step in. For those of you in this altar, it might be midnight.